So praise the Lord. Well, God is good. All the time, and all the time, God is good. You know, I thought, you know, this is our last night together. Goodness, what could I say that could, you know, it's my one of the last sermons that I'm here with you. And so I just want to talk about the Apostle Peter, things to remember about him. Because I think that all of us can relate to him. He's a man that's very spiritual. He's a man that tries new things, gets out of the boat and walks, you know, let's give him credit. He's a man that declares that Jesus is the Son of God. And then in six verses later, Jesus rebukes him. Said, get behind me, Satan, you know, and so he gets rebuked. You know, he's enthusiastic. He pulls out his sword and cuts the servant's ear off. You know, he's just very enthusiastic. He wants to serve Jesus so bad, you know, he weeps and cries because he messed up, but yet he was one of the first to the tomb. And I think we have a lot in common with Peter. Don't you think so? In February of 1998, Michael Jackson released a song called Man. Boomer, can you stand up and sing Man in the Mirror? Do you know the words? Can you, Chris? Can you? Do you know what the words are? I'm standing. All right. All right. You got some soul there. You must have been raised in some kind of like soul-given church, you know, some was you around a lot of African Americans? Just because, all right. Amen. The song says, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Who would ever think that great theologian Michael Jackson would ever say such a thing? If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. If you want to make a change in your life, all of us, including me, all of us, always have to look at ourselves first. But as Christians, sometimes we need to look at it from a different perspective. If we're going to change and grow and be the person that God has called us to be, then lasting change begins with God, and change begins to happen when we see ourselves in the lens of Scripture. What does the Bible say about us? Because actually, the Bible is really the mirror that we look at. Am I right? The man in the mirror. How do we look at ourselves? Most of us is very critical of ourselves to the point that we have no self-esteem about ourselves. I was raised in West Virginia, you know, and when they ask for a favor, they always cuss themselves out. You know, you want to give a low-down, broke, blanky-blank, a car ride, you know, they just, you ever meet somebody, they just cuss them. You ever met somebody like that? I mean, y'all laughing because you know it's the truth. Oh, Lord, I got tickled because I got some broke down cousins. But if you will. Oh, Lord, help me. I got to get myself together here. And all the cuss words had barnyard animals in it, you know? So, well, I better move on. But if you really want to make a change in your life, you look at the Bible as the mirror. And then it reveals to you what you need to change. Sometimes when we look at ourselves, we are very critical and we demean ourselves to the point that we don't have no confidence in ourselves. But in order for us to truly change, we do it by the scriptures. The scripture is the mirror. The scripture is the lens. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. And this man will be blessed in what he does." So just like an actual mirror will reveal your imperfections, the Bible will reveal your imperfections when you begin to read it. When you begin to study it, it will begin to reveal your imperfections. I'm convinced that we got a lot of churchgoers and few Bible readers. And if you're going to grow in the scriptures, you're going to have to read it. That doesn't mean you understand it. If you believe the Bible is a living book, then you can listen to the book of Leviticus and get something out of it. And even if you don't get something out of it the first time, eventually it will become living and breathing. It will change you. So listen to it. And read it even when you don't understand it or don't even want to do it. If you don't want to read it, at least listen to it because it will reveal to you, those imperfections in your life that needs to change. You will never grow unless you use the Word of God as the mirror of your life. I remember I was going down the road in my car and I was listening to the scriptures. And my daily Bible reading plan, it came across the story of King Herod and where King Herod killed or had John the Baptist executed. You remember the story? And his head was on a platter. You know the story. But before he executed John the Baptist, there was something interesting that the scripture said. The Bible says that King Herod loved to listen to John. Now, John, of course, rebuked Herod because Herod was sleeping with his brother's wife. So John would rebuke him, but the Bible says Herod loved to listen to him. And immediately, as I heard that, I was driving down Rangeline in Joplin. The Spirit spoke to me very clear. I heard it in my car. That is the modern church. We love to listen to sermons and refuse to change because King Herod never changed. He liked what he did, but he loved to listen to John. And man, do you know what? When that spoke to me, I thought about it for weeks. I remember getting out of my car, going into the church, telling the staff that was working that day, man, the Lord really spoke this to me. I wrote it in my journal. And you see, that's how the Holy Spirit works. You know, getting the Word of God inside of you. When I read my Bible, I see myself in the pages of the Bible. Me. Not somebody else, but myself. And when you look at the life of Peter, you'll see yourself in Peter's life. You know, his original name is actually called Simon, but later it was changed to Peter. One of the closest disciples of Jesus was Peter. He was a fisherman by trade. He grew up as a gifted preacher and a leader. He had trouble with speaking his mind sometimes. He acted on impulse most of the time. He made rash decisions. He had trouble with his mouth. And, you know, he didn't necessarily walk out the faith all the time. And that is why I love Peter. Because when you look at him, you really do see yourself in the pages of the scriptures. Peter loved the Lord, but he did battle and struggle with a lot of things. And that's why I believe you and I can relate to Peter tonight. You remember what the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says this, "Whatever things are written before you were written for your learning, that you through the patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope." Romans 15, verse 4. So whatever is written was written for our instruction and was written for our learning. And there are some things that I want you to see about Peter. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to write these down because I think it's so very important because Peter is really an example of all of us. We see ourselves in Peter's life. And the very first thing I want you to see about Peter is this. Don't focus in trying to prove your love for Jesus. Instead of focus on his love for you. Let me say that again. Don't focus in trying to prove your love for Jesus. Instead, focus on his love for you. Now, that's a mouthful, but I think it's important that I reiterate that. Don't focus in trying to prove your love for Jesus. Instead, focus on his love for you. Now, where do I see that in Scripture? Well, you'll see two disciples. One is John, Jesus' best friend, and then you'll have Peter. And both of them experience the love of God differently. For instance, John chapter 13, verse 23. John 13, verse 23. I want you to see John, the apostle, and I want you to see how he responded to the love of God. John chapter 13, verse number 23. Look at it. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Here is John leaning on Jesus' bosom, and the Bible says that Jesus loved him. Now, I want you to see not only John, but now I want you to see Peter. Look at Peter and how he responds to the love of God. Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Matthew 26, 33. Look at it again. Peter said to him, "Even if all is made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." You see, you'll see two different people. You see John, and then you'll see Peter. One was resting in the fact that he was loved, and the other one was trying to prove that he loved the Lord. Did you see that? The one was resting in the fact he was leaning on Jesus' bosom. He knew that Jesus loved him. He was resting in the fact that he was already loved. The other one, Peter, he was the one proving that he loved the Lord. "I will never stumble. I'll go with you all the way." You see, my friends, two different people responded to the love of God differently. And my friends, who are you? Are you the one that's trying to prove to everyone that you love the Lord? Are you making empty promises? "I will never do this, and I will always go this." Are you making empty promises? Do you have hype but no habits? I mean, do you have this Hosanna, but the next day you crucify him? You see, if you don't have a devotional life, you will have an emotional life. So, I mean, what is it about you that you need to prove that you love the Lord? Can you just focus on his love for you instead of you trying to prove that you love the Lord? Amen. Can I hear an amen? And see, my friends, we are not in it to prove to anyone that we love the Lord. When you love the Lord, when you focus on his love for you, then my friends, it automatically shows. It automatically shows. The love of God is received, it is not achieved. The love of God is received, is not achieved. You don't achieve the love of God by doing something. You receive the love of God. So are you a John or are you a Peter tonight? You reflect the light that you receive. What are you receiving? You respond because you know that he loves you. There is an acceptance about you. Now let me say this, and one of the most powerful things that I have learned that I think it is noteworthy to say this evening is that as Pentecostals, we focus a lot on the fire. You know, we focus a lot on the fire. And I grew up in old school Pentecost. You know, my grandparents took me to church. And, you know, I grew up in old school Pentecost where, you know, they got up behind the pulpit and preached and the veins popped out of their neck. And, you know, and I got saved every Sunday night. Come on, somebody. I got saved every Sunday night, and I've been baptized at least 17 times in the water. I've been baptized, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. I've been sprinkled and dunked. I mean, it's all of it. I wanted to make sure I was going. Because in the old church, they taught that you could backslide over anything. So I remember getting saved all the time because I remember I took an extra cookie at the cafeteria in school and I felt bad about it. I stole a pencil, you know, and I just felt bad. I knew. And, you know, and then they took us in the back room, you know, a little light bulb hanging down from the ceiling, and VHS, and showed us Left Behind movies of the rapture. Woo! Y'all know I'm talking to you tonight. I mean, I was 11 years old, and I'm like, I mean, they show those videos of people getting their heads popped, chopped off and running down the street. What's that song in that movie? I'm running for my life. You know, whatever that song. Oh, I wish we all been ready. Woo, I remember going home at night after those youth services of them showing those videos and waking up because I heard the train going in town and I thought it was the trumpet. I wake up sweating. I just knew I'd missed the rapture. Come on, folks. And then that Sunday night I get saved again and the next week I got baptized again. I want to let you know I'm saved today. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I felt as though I had to achieve God's love and achieve his acceptance. I didn't realize that he loved me whether I loved him or not. And so my friends, I said this to say this. Listen, this is so good. Don't lose me. So I grew up in that. Get the fire, you know. Get the fire. I mean, I've been in services. They took oil and rubbed it all over my lips. I mean, I remember one service, they poured oil all over my head and took a Bible, rubbed it in my face, and we did a Jericho march, marched around the building, and I remember taking my shoes off and marching through the Red Sea, and come on, I've done it all. One service, I didn't have no money to give in the offering. The preacher said, give something, so I took my tie off and threw it in the river of God. And I thought that, you know, if I could just do this, then, you know, somehow I'd be accepted. I keep the fire moving. But listen to me. It's not about the fire. You know why we always have to have services to try to get the fire to go? Because Pentecostals have it learned that you can't have a fire unless you have a fireplace. We're always about the fire, but We're going to leave revival, and maybe some of y'all's fires going to go out, and you're like, well, I got the Holy Ghost on Wednesday night. I feel like I don't feel like I'm saved today. You know, we don't know how to keep the fire going. So we always got to have Holy Ghost services. Holy Ghost, get in here and let us lay hands on you and get the Spirit moving. And we don't realize, y'all know I'm preaching. And I pastor a church, and I know. And so you can't have a fire unless you have a fireplace. So what is a fireplace? The fireplace is what you call the spiritual disciplines of your life. They are the prayer, meditation, scripture reading, memorization, church attendance, witnessing, giving, generosity, serving the church, serving the world, sacrificing your time when you don't feel like it, making sure your babies come to church on Wednesday nights instead of taking them to a ball game. You know, just keep consistent, keep them consistent, keep your life consistent, whether you feel like it or not, you just keep consistent. And eventually the fire, even though it may be little, it's always burning. It's always burning. It's always burning. It's always burning. And you don't have to wait to a next service to try to get the fire to be kindled again. It's always there. Come on, somebody. And when I was 13 years old in West Virginia, no disrespect, but I had a district superintendent tell me when I was up at the altar, I was crying, I was shouting, I was seeking the Lord. You know what he said to me? I'll never forget this. I'm 45, and that was when I was 13. He looked at me and said, Josh, one day
I mean, seriously, he was old and barely could walk. And he's looked at me one day, Josh, you're going to lose. You'll lose it. Just like everybody else, you'll lose. And I thought, as a 13-year-old, I thought, well, this is my leader telling me that I'm going to lose the fire. My friends, I wish he could see me now because I have never lost the fire. Never lost the fire. So you can't have a fire unless you have a fireplace. And when you participate in things like that, you don't do it to achieve God's love. You do those things because you know he loves you. And listen, you do those things because you want to be like him. How do I know that I love the Lord? I know you love the Lord when you want to be like him. Somebody say amen. I want to be like him. Number two, let's learn a little thing about Peter tonight. Number two, make sure your passion leads to compassion. Somebody say that with me. Make sure your passion leads to compassion. Look to your neighbor and say, make sure your passion leads to compassion. Look at this. John 18 verse 10. John chapter 18 verse 10. Look at what Peter does here. Peter says this. John 18 verse 10. Look at this story. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut his right ear off. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword away. Should I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Look, Peter had passion for Jesus. He wanted to protect Jesus. They were going to arrest Jesus. But Peter's like, no, don't do that to him. I'm going to protect him. He had a lot of passion, but he did not have a lot of compassion because he cut the ear off of the servant. Your love and your passion is rooted in Jesus and not in performance. Zeal without knowledge leads to destruction. Listen to me. You should always tell the truth, but not every truthful thing should be said. And we have a lot of people that's hurting a lot of people in church because you're very passionate. You're very, very on fire for the Lord, but you don't have a lot of discretion. You don't have a lot of compassion. And so therefore, you're hurting a lot of people. Just because it's truthful doesn't mean it needs to be said. There needs to be, it's what the scripture says, prudence. Prudence. You know what prudence is? To think about a matter before you speak it. And so just because something is true and something is right doesn't mean you act upon it or say it. And my friends, Peter here had a lot of passion, but he did not have compassion because he cut the ear off of the servant. Zeal without knowledge equals to destruction. What about Saul? Saul thought he was doing God a favor. And so therefore, he was killing Christians. His passion was killing Christians, thinking he was doing God a favor. Zeal without knowledge equals destruction. Make sure that your fire for God, make sure that your zeal for God always leads to compassion for others instead of the destruction of people. Amen. Number three, what can we learn about Peter? If you don't pray, you will stray. If you don't pray, you will stray. Look at this. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you return to me, strengthen your brother. And he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall crow this day before you and you will deny me three times. Look at this. In one part, he calls him Simon. And the other part, he calls him Peter. Do you see that? Notice that anytime you don't pray, your past, your old name will be resurrected. If you don't pray, you will stray. Peter is his old name. And Jesus referred to his as his first name, but also as his second name when he told him that
before the rooster would crow, you would deny me. Peter, his old name. You will go back to your old ways if you don't pray, Simon. You will be Peter. If you don't pray, you will stray. Number four, following Jesus at a distance will always cost you. Following Jesus at a distance will always cost you. Look at this scripture, Mark chapter 14, verse 54. But Peter followed him at a distance, right in the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself by the fire. Isn't this interesting? He followed Jesus at a what? Distance. Go ahead and look at this next scripture, Mark chapter 14, verse 66. Mark 14, verse 66. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servants of the girl of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You are with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I don't know. I neither know nor understand what you're saying." And he went out on the porch, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by Peter again said, "Surely you're one of them. You're a Galilean. Your speech shows it." And then he began to curse and swear, "I don't know this man of whom you speak." And a second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. You see, if you don't follow him close, you will get lost in the hallway of life. You will begin to warm yourself by the fire and the comfort of the world. You will begin to seek after comfort and convenience and follow him at a distance. He denied him three times. And that's what happens when you don't follow Jesus close. You begin to not deny Jesus. You begin to live one way at the church and another way elsewhere. You begin to deny Jesus in your very life. Are you doing anything in your life to disturb your Christianity? Are you doing anything in your life to disturb your comfort? Are you doing anything in your life that causes you to grow? How many books have you read this year than you read last year? Have you read the Bible more? Have you read it through this year? Have you challenged yourself that every year I'm going to read the Bible by a different translation? Every year I'm going to pick one book and I'm going to read it and I'm going to ask myself, what can I learn in this book to change my life so that I could be more like Jesus? What about your giving? Are you faithful with it? Have you challenged yourself to the point that you remember the sacrifice that you made, or is it just become routine and lukewarm and mundane? Have you challenged yourself? Because eventually, if you don't, you will begin to follow Jesus at a distance. There comes a time in your life that you must disturb your comfort. You must disturb your Christianity. You must disturb it. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You must push. You see, you must push towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You see, we want to get to the high calling, but we forget there's a mark. Press towards the mark of the prize. My friends, you got to get to the mark first. Keep pressing towards the mark. And we do this not to achieve the love of God. We do it because it's called spiritual formation, and we want to be more like Jesus in the world in which we live. Somebody say amen. Your life has to carry a mark of self-denial. Amen. You see, the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem is called the one-way journey. Because when they carried the cross, it was a one-way journey. You can't go back the opposite direction. And when you follow Jesus, it is a one-way journey, my friends. There is no such thing as going back and backsliding. It is a one-way journey. We go all the way. Number five, your physical problem may have a spiritual root. Your physical problem
may have a spiritual root. Look at this. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have what? Prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. Notice what Jesus said here. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan is asking to sift you, but I have prayed for you. There is a spiritual problem here. You know, the enemy is after Peter, but the Lord is saying, I'm praying for you. Most of our problems, not all of them, but some of them have a spiritual root to them. And you've got to deal with the spiritual root before you deal with the physical root. The spiritual world has an effect on your life. Come on, some of us is mowing the grass, but we're forgetting there's weeds around the house. Some of us is dealing with the cobwebs, but we forget there's a spider loose. You see, sometimes the problem is not the problem. There's a deeper issue to the problem. And if there's a continual pattern in your life and this not being broken, somehow, some way, you got to do spiritual evaluation and ask yourself, maybe this physical problem has a spiritual root that I need to deal with. Look at what Numbers chapter 22, verse 23 says. This is so interesting. Numbers chapter 22, verse 23. Now the donkey. Now look at this. Numbers 22, verse 23. It's an interesting story. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn him back on the road. So you see Balaam here. He's riding a donkey, and the donkey is doing something. He's going the opposite direction. So what does Balaam do? He strikes the donkey. But the donkey is looking at what? He sees a what? An angel. Now look at this. Numbers chapter 22, verse 28. Numbers 22, verse 28. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, what have I done that you would strike me these three times? Now, my friends, that would freak me out right there. I lose my marbles right there. Come on, somebody. But Balaam doesn't seem to think it's, you know, concerning to him. And Balaam said to the donkey, I guess it's not that bad. Some of you talk to your plants. And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey in which you have ridden ever since I become yours to this day? Was I ever disappointment to you? And he said, no. The Lord opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in the hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Notice, Balaam thought it was a donkey. Balaam thought it was all the donkey's fault, but the donkey saw something that Balaam didn't see. He saw the angel. And sometimes we are beating things in our life, and it's not going the way we think it should go. But the reason it's not going the way it should go is because there is a spiritual problem behind the physical problem. Did you see that? There's a spiritual problem. There was a spiritual issue here. What was the spiritual issue? There was an angel there. And the only thing that saw it was the donkey. Balaam never saw it. He's beating the donkey. And he thought it was a physical issue, but it really was a spiritual issue. Judas, the Bible says, stuck his hand in the money bag. Yeah, that's a physical problem, but there's a spiritual problem behind it. The Bible says Satan entered his heart. There's a spiritual problem. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost. They took some property that didn't belong to them. That was a physical problem, but there was a spiritual problem behind it. You see, my friends, you see, sometimes our physical issues can be a result of a spiritual problem. And it takes the Holy Spirit to discern that to us. Not every problem, But sometimes some problems in our life can be traced back to a spiritual problem that we need to deal with. You see, you need to make up your mind that it ran in my family until it ran into me. It ran in my family until it ran into me. You need to say that with a declaration that this cycle is going to break. And there's a difference between a season and a cycle. Seasons, there's nothing you can do about it. And there will be seasons in your life that's hard, and there'll be seasons that you don't understand, and they're directed by God. There's nothing I can do about the winter and the summer and the spring season. There's nothing I can do. That happens every year. Those are seasons. You will have seasons in your life that's directed by the Lord. There's nothing you can do about it. But there are cycles in your life that you have the ability to break. And you can break the cycles in your life. And you got to discern what is a season and what is a cycle in my life and what can I break in my life. Somebody say amen. See, Peter is a man that all of us can relate to. That sometimes our physical problems may have a spiritual root. And also following Jesus at a distance will always cost you. That make sure that your passion always leads to compassion. And that if you don't pray, my friends, you will always stray. And number one, I said, don't always try to prove your love for Jesus. Instead of focus on his love for you. These are the things tonight that I believe that Peter is speaking to us that we can learn as we close out this revival tonight. And may the Spirit of the Lord touch us. May the Spirit of the Lord bring this word to our heart and to our mind, that the Spirit of the Lord would form us, mold us, and make us in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted a great big amen. Would you stand to your feet all across the building? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord tonight? Amen. Did you enjoy the word of the Lord tonight? Amen. 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 Let's just wait on the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this week that you've given us. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and every day of this week, the word of God that's went forth. Lord, the worship, people have got involved, people have heard, and I thank you that things are happening in the spirit world that we're not aware of. That you are dealing with our hearts more than we could ever imagine or see. That you are doing something behind closed doors that we don't even know. The Spirit of the Lord is at work. The Spirit and the Word is at work in our life and in our heart. And Lord, I pray for a solid rock church. I pray, Lord, that as this church continues to progress, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would continue to lead them and guide them and direct them. I bind every attack of the enemy that may try to come. We bind it, rebuke it, and bring it to no effect. We speak and decree God's word and promises over this church and over this ministry. We pray that this ministry may experience a jubilee like they've never experienced. In Jesus' name. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Can we just pray right now? Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That every stronghold of the enemy is broken. And the promises of God that's been spoken over this place, I pray that it would come to pass. Hallelujah. Because you are a promise keeper. You are a God that keeps your word. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise the Lord. Father, that as people drive by this highway, that they'll sense that they need to come here. They'll see solid rock, and they'll instantly know that they need something solid in their life. And that's what the Spirit is saying. It's not by accident that this church is called Solid Rock, because there's people that need stability in their life. And this church is going to be used to bring stability to people's lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Amen. I want Pastor Darrell and Pastor Darlene to stand right here. I want to just pray over them as your pastors tonight. Amen. I want us to come around them tonight. Amen. We're just going to pray as your pastors tonight.